Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
But practically, it is possible. If you think that this sin of lusting after evil things is far-fetched from us, it is possible for us to develop a life of borrowing from the world system, from our sworn enemy, because then we have to always prepare ourselves to slave forever for our lender. I want to say some few things about money. You may not agree totally with me, but I know that as you grow and as you get to understand a lot more of scripture and the ways of God, you will come to agree with some of the things that I'm going to say with you. Indeed, all of the things I'm going to say with you. One of the things that I want to say that affects our lives practically is that money does not solve the problem of poverty. The solution to poverty is not money. Money does not solve the problems of poverty. Wisdom solves the problem of poverty. You can have so much money, but without wisdom, you would be broke. On the other hand, you can have little money, but with wisdom, you will not be broke. Because, ladies and gentlemen, wisdom brings wealth. So you don't need more money. You need more wisdom. You don't need more money. You need more discipline. What we call financial discipline. Borrowing from the system is an attitude. Borrowing is an attitude. Borrowing is something that you love to do when you do not consider alternatives. For everything that you borrow for, there are alternatives. There are alternatives that will keep you from borrowing. But many times we do not like the alternatives. We do not appreciate the alternative. So by all means, we have to go and borrow and become slaves to the world. Why do people borrow? Number one, lack of contentment makes people borrow. Lack of contentment. Lack of contentment makes people do too many things at a time. If in your life you heap too much on your plate, you will be forced to borrow. Lack of contentment. Godliness with contentment, the Bible says, is great gain. But lack of contentment will make you do too many things at a time, and that will lead you into some of this behavior, borrowing. Because it is never enough for a borrower. It is never enough for a borrower. Actually, you don't borrow because you lack. You borrow because you refuse alternatives. Think about it. Number two reason why people borrow is pride. Overestimation of self. Overestimation of self in a bid to impress will make you a slave to this world system. Overestimating yourself, thinking that you stand. Paul said, let him who thinketh that he stand take heed. In other words, pay attention, check yourself. Somebody said that many are borrowing the money they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people who don't like them. Many are borrowing money that they don't have to buy things they don't need, to impress people who don't like them. Whatever you do, many times the people that like us, we don't have to impress them. We don't have to be at our topmost self, so to speak, in order for them to like us. They like us whether we have it or we don't have it. Many times when you go out of your way to acquire certain things that is beyond you, overestimate yourself, it means you want to impress the extra people who don't like you. And I tell you what, no matter what you do, you can cut your throat, they will still not be impressed. So don't do that. Don't borrow from this world system. They borrow because they have got eyes for big things, doing things beyond them, putting a lot on their plate. But in the course of doing it, in a very subliminal manner, the devil is enslaving your life, enslaving your purpose, enslaving your assignment to the world system. Pastor, are you against borrowing? I am against borrowing from the world. I am against borrowing from the enemy. I am against borrowing from a system that does not understand the purpose of the church, that does not understand the pursuits of the church, that ridicule the pursuit of the church. Because they will make it tough for you. They will enslave you, ensnare you. God says that we should be careful we don't lust after evil things. I am against borrowing that enslaves you to the world system. Always ask yourself, this thing I am doing, is it enslaving me to the world? That when I want to do what God is directing me to do, am I that free for God to use? Think about that. Number three reason why people borrow is impatience. Impatience. Like I said, you may not agree totally, but as you grow, you come to agree. All right? Impatience. No good thing, the Bible says, will he withhold from him who walks uprightly. No good thing. If you don't have it, it is not good for you. At least for the time. It is not good for you. Because he has promised that as long as you are righteous, you have the righteousness of Christ, no good thing will he withhold from him that walketh uprightly. If you don't have it, really, you don't need it. Use the alternative humbly. Humbly. Sometimes we are in a hurry with the world system. We are in a hurry to acquire, whether to impress or whatever, but we are in a hurry. And impatience will make you become enslaved to the world system. Genesis 14, 22 to 24. Abraham said, I have lifted up my hands unto God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a shoe latchet. I will not take a shoelace from this booty that you think is available. Oh, you take it. I will not take it, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. Ladies and gentlemen, the jobs that we have are not our source. Our source is God Almighty. If you don't get this right and you think that the job is your source, based upon your job, you get yourself enslaved everywhere. But let us learn to lift up our hands to God Almighty and say, the Lord God Almighty, possessor of heaven and earth, possessor of the riches of the world,
I am trusting you that you will make me rich without becoming a slave to the world system.
You can believe God. Because some people, the world will tell you, well, your job qualifies you to do that. Your job enables you to do that. But at the end of it, you'll find yourself ensnared to the world system. I believe I'm speaking to wise people. That is why my prayer for all of us is that may the God of peace sanctify us wholly. May He sanctify our desires. My prayer for all of us is that God will grant that we will see the way of escape out of every temptation, out of this first temptation, lusting after desiring evil things. That the world says that there is nothing wrong with fish. There is nothing wrong with free fish. There is nothing wrong with a garlic, free cucumber. It will rather nourish your body and all that. But it is not a free thing. It enslaves. It enslaves you to Egypt so that you remain in the wilderness, still a slave to Egypt. May it be far from us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The second thing I want to talk to you about. Let's talk about a second thing. Let's talk about a second thing. A second temptation that God provides a way of escape. God, the Bible says, but God is faithful. He was talking about the five wilderness temptations. God is faithful. He will be with you and He will show you the way of escape. Hallelujah. Idolatry. Look at Exodus 32. Exodus 32. Exodus 32 and then verse 1. And verse 6. And when the people, that is the people of Israel, saw that Moses delayed, that is the problem. Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto Aaron, up, make us gods. We shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what is become of him. We don't know what has become of him. Look at verse 6. And they rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offering and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. This is Israel in the wilderness succumbing to the temptation of idolatry. God doesn't want us to succumb. He wants us to overcome. Hallelujah. The problem is delay. Because when things delay, when the promise of God delay, we feel like helping God. The people themselves gathered themselves together and came to Aaron, says, up, make us gods. And Aaron told them, bring your gold, your silver, and he cast it into the fire, and he molded a god for them, and he said, behold, the God who brought you out of Egypt. And that was idolatry in the sight of God. But the whole thing begins with the people of God. When what God has promised you, the promise and ministry, the promise husband, the promise job, the promise breakthrough, the promise finances, the promise peace, when it delays, we say, up, let us help ourselves. When God's promise delays in being fulfilled, we rationalize trying to bring it about by our own devices. And I must confess that most of us fall prey at least once. Most of us, including everybody, falls prey at least once to this problem. The most important thing is to see the way of escape out of this wilderness temptation.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Because it's a big temptation. You have waited. You have believed for 40 days, for a long time. Nothing shows up. God doesn't show up with anything. So Abraham said, let me help myself. So Abraham listened to the advice of Sarah and went to take Hagar. Because for a period of about 11 years, 11 is a number of confusion. A period of about 11 years, from age 75 to 86 or so, he had no child. But God had promised him a child. But the child is delaying. 25 years he waited for the real one, Isaac. But 11, at the 10th year, around the 11th year, he held himself. And many times in a Christian life, we try to help ourselves. And, you know, there is vanity in man. Job used to say people didn't understand him. But our best is vain. Our best does not please God. Our best effort is problematic. When we try to work out God's promise on our own, it yields confusion. Man at his very best is vanity. That is why we must rely upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, at the time that we are helping ourselves, it seems like the Ishmaels that we get are God's provision. It seems like our actions, God likes it. Ishmael seemed to Abraham like the promised seed until Isaac showed up. And then he got to know. And that is how our lives can be. Until the true seed is born, until God fulfills that promise for your life, in whatever aspect of your life it is, it seems like God has endorsed your Ishmael. It seems like Ishmael is the promise. But I want you to know there is a difference between Ishmael and Isaac. Although they are both the seed of Abraham, God's friend. Until God's time came, both the wheat and the tares were doing well. It was not as if the wheat was tall because it was the true seed. And so it was growing. And then the tares, because it was the evil one who planted it, it was short. Otherwise, they could have removed it. No, the tares grew with the same grace and the strength of the wheat. So he says, no, don't go and touch it. Otherwise, in uprooting it, you root out the wheat also. Because until God's time comes, what you have out of your own devices, it will seem like God's blessing is upon it. Because God will bless your Ishmael. But don't think that that is a promise of God, that is a true seed. There is a difference between Ishmael and Isaac. There is a difference between being blessed like Ishmael and being chosen like Isaac. In this life, you can be blessed. But please, excuse my language, don't fool yourself. Because the blessing does not mean that God has chosen it. Because when Hagar was running away, the angel of God met Hagar, Genesis chapter 16, and told Hagar that, why are you running away? He said, I'm running away from my mistress. He said, Hagar, the angel says, I've seen your affliction. I've seen the trouble, the kind of confusion that Sarah is bringing into your life. But go back to her and submit yourself to her. But as for this seed, I will multiply him. Angel spoke to Hagar. When Abraham was helping himself, I will let him thrive. In the Old Testament, when God says that I will multiply something, it is just a way of saying that I will let it thrive. You understand that expression? I will let it do well. It will not diminish. I will multiply it. And Abraham himself prayed and said, oh Lord, that Isaac, oh Lord, that Ishmael will live after you. And God says that, look, I have blessed Ishmael. But he is not a promise. He's not a promise. Ishmael was a result of Abraham helping himself. See, the difference between Ishmael and Isaac is in their spiritual state before God. Not in the physical state, what you see with your eyes, whether it's a life, whether it's a company, whether it's a church, whether it's a ministry, whatever. The difference is in the spiritual condition before God. Whether the person just held himself. And I must say that there are in our lives everywhere, at least I admitted that once, all of us, we get to this condition of Abraham or Aaron where we help ourselves because Moses is delaying. Because the promise is delaying. And we must get to the promised land. Hallelujah. The difference is in the spiritual state, not the physical state before the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord will often bless our spiritual Ishmaels. And you know what? Because of that, we never realize that the true seed has not yet been born. And what happens is that when the true seed becomes born, there is always a conflict. There is always a conflict. Because Ishmael, our spiritual Ishmael, the Ishmaels of our lives, become idols then. Abraham, it grieved Abraham that Ishmael should go away. It wasn't an easy thing. It pained him. He was just glued to this idol because it took his effort. This is his life. This is, I toiled to get Ishmael. Sometimes we look at what sometimes we call our life's effort and we don't want to give it up for God. It becomes an idol. But just like God delivered Abraham, may he deliver us from this wilderness temptation in Jesus' name. May we see the way of escape out of this. Because you see, when Ishmael is there and Isaac comes, Ishmael is not happy because Isaac has come to take the place of Ishmael. So Ishmael will fight Isaac. The carnal church will fight the spiritual church. The carnal seed will fight the spiritual seed or the true seed. So in our lives, sometimes there is that kind of conflict and we don't want to give it up. Ishmael becomes our idol. What is born of the flesh can only be sustained by striving and by toil. That is why up till this day, there is striving and there is toil among the seed of Ishmael. Genesis 16:12, the angel said, his hand, he will be a wild donkey. And his hand will be against everybody, and everybody's hand will be against him, and he will dwell in the, his brother's presence, in the presence of his brethren. That's a different message. But I want us to understand that when we try to help ourselves, because God's promise is delaying, we bring forth confusion, wild, against everybody, everybody against him. When Ishmael was born, the angel said some wonderful things, all right? But the failure to wait on God to bring about his promises in due time will always result in major problems. Because when the promise kicks in, there will be a conflict. But when the true seed or the promise appear, there will be a conflict. The Ishmaels, who were a blessing to people already, will always try to destroy the Isaac who have come to take their place. Like the prodigal son story. Elder brother, just two of them. One is not happy. The guy has come back to take on his identity as a son with a ring, with the best robe. But he has come. He has come. Wow. The Ishmaels of our lives, churches and ministries become an idol. Something that we don't want to part with for God. Do you know why? Because we give all our life for it. That God delivered Abraham from idolatry. Let me take it a little further. After we have gone through so much to attain them, it is not easy for God's promises. It is easy for God's promises to take precedence over God himself. You know, after you have worked very hard to attain the promise of God, the promise becomes an idol and you cherish it even more than God. Modern day idols. Modern day idols. Do you know that a time came that God even made a demand on Isaac? Oh yeah. Because everything that we like more than God becomes an idol. So just ask yourself, what do I like more than God? We must never become attached to the work of God that we forget the God of the work. Because the work of God kills, but the God of the work, it gives life. That is why you can work the work of God and die. But following the God of the work will give you life. Think about it. The greatest idol these days in the church is the worship of the things of God. We are so glued to the things of God. We fight for the things of God, not for God. For the things of God. Your idol may be a ministry. It may be a truth. It may be prayer. It may be worship. It may even be the church. Not God. Ephesians, Jesus told the church in Ephesus that I know your works and I know your labor. I know what you do for me. But I have one thing against you. You have left your first love. In other words, you are so addicted. You so love my work. You so love the thing that you are doing. That me, myself. You have left your first love for me. It has gone to the things of God. A truth that we don't want to let go. But we must put our Isaacs even on his altar. Our Isaacs must even be on his altar. We must be willing to lay our promise once on God's altar. Don't love anything except him. Please. All these things happened unto them, for example. These temptations in the wilderness, it happened unto them. When they were worshipping the idol, do you know what they said? They said that idol was God. It was God who. He didn't say it was the God of Egypt. It was God who brought them out of Egypt. But it was an idol. Because he said that you shall not make unto me any graven image that you use to resemble me. You say that, well, if I'm doing it to it, I'm doing it for God. May God give us the grace to escape idolatry.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.